This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's here, Nick's here. I'm Cody in for Joel today. At Cody underscore Stutes on Twitter. At Barry is funny. At the producer, Nick. Always follow at ESPN 97.5.
Hey, real quick, before we continue, I just want to wish my wife.
I saw this on the IG, and I didn't know why we didn't start with it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. She's a very private woman. Like, she would be glad if I never mentioned it. Like, she's probably going to be pissed that I put that on social media.
Yeah.
And tagged her. Oh. Because I don't, like, she's not on Twitter, Facebook,
she can't be
anything.
That, she can't be that private if she has a, was it on Instagram, I guess?
Well, but you won't see, like, she follows, like, four people. I don't even think she follows me. But she's like, yeah, she's very private. But happy anniversary to my wife. Our 15-year wedding anniversary today. We started dating in August of 98. So we've been together. It'll be 21 years that we've been together this year.
Oh, but, so y'all just got the paper.
That's the thing. And that's kind of the note I put. Like, we knew.
Paper in the party.
She's not like, I always tell the story, and Jerome always jokes with me, the fact that we got married in a drive-thru in Vegas at the little white wedding chapel. They have a little drive-thru.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because, like, we don't, she's not that kind of, like, she's not superficial. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, if you tell me that we're together forever, I love you, you love me, that's it, we're good.
She damn sure wasn't marrying you for half your stuff.
No. No. Especially at the time. Yeah. Like, no way. But it was, you know, we just did the formality. That's why we did that, because we were like, I was like, you know, she's Catholic. I was like, oh, well, we'll get a Catholic church and hundreds of people. She's like, let's just go to Vegas and have some fun, and we'll get married while we're there.
Nice.
It was the secondary thing of us just going and having a good time.
Very
and,
cool.
So, yeah.
Is it 15 officially?
It is our 15-year wedding anniversary official today. Yeah. And I looked it up, because, you know, every anniversary has, like, oh, it's paper. It's this, it's that.
I send a married buddy of mine a gift each year based on his anniversary.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice of you.
Yeah.
Why do you do that?
I let him, because we're good buddies.
So you just say, hey, well.
So there's new age and there's old age.
What does that mean?
So, like, some of them, like, the first one for old, like, old style, the first one's a clock. That's your first anniversary. It's a clock.
Really?
But the new age one is, like, cotton. So you can get them, like, nice baby clothes or, like, nice...
pair of jeans.
You know, nice clothes for them to wear or something like that.
Really?
Nice sheets or
so
something.
So there's two... Because I looked it up because I was like, you know, I've never stopped... Like I did promise her on her 10-year anniversary that I would upgrade her ring.
20 is...
I was like, I'll get you a bigger diamond and a bigger ring.
20 is the silver anniversary or something like that?
20 is... So, yeah, 15 so. Is crystal.
Oh, good luck.
So a lot of people are like, we'll get her a watch. I'm like, well, she has an Apple and... several other she doesn't
hey, remember hon when you said you weren't superficial.
I was like, crystal, what am I gonna get her? So I thought about just going and buying some like Crystal Gayle CDs.
Oh my god, that's the best thing you could think of.
Get her, like,
Crystal
get
Gayle
her,
CDs.
Get her Crystal Gayle shirt like get that Will Ferrell wore on that one
well, I was
movie.
Gonna get her a box of Crystal Light for her water.
Well played.
And then get her a Crystal Gayle CD and be like, it's Crystal.
Well,
happy anniversary, babe. Here's some Crystal Burgers. And we're going to do Crystal Meth later.
Oh.
That's all I That's all. It's literally.
Typically, at 15 years, I usually say, hey, congrats. I'm glad she didn't leave you. At this point, I would say, hey, 15 years, congrats. You're not an episode of Dateline like we talked about earlier.
That's good. Good job. Yeah. But I think what I'm going to end up doing. And this might be
a
mistake.
A serving platter or something?
No, she likes wine. She's a wine drinker. Mm. So I think I'm going to go to Swarovski. How do you pronounce the crystals?
No idea.
Swarovski.
Never shopped there.
Have
never,
no clue.
Yeah, which I'm proud of all three of us. We're men's men because we don't know what Swarovski crystal,
no
crystal
clue.
Is. I just know it's like really fancy.
Okay.
And you can get two of them and they're pretty expensive. Two wine glasses. So I'm going to go get her a couple of Swarovski wine glasses or however the hell you pronounce it.
Oh, there you
it.
Go.
And that'll be our 15-year crystal. I don't know. And some meth. We'll do some crystal meth, and that'll be our
that
night.
That part's non-negotiable.
That's right. We're doing crystal meth on our 15 for sure. You have to. That's a must.
All right, let's do some more HRP listener line with some of the folks hanging on. 713-780-3776. You want to get in. We're talking about the Rockets right now. Let's go to Chris. He wants to get in. Chris, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How are you?
Great.
What up, man?
Hey, nothing much. Hey, listen, you guys are talking about Daryl Morey and the Rockets, and, you know, it really struck a nerve with me.
What the hell?
It struck a nerve within
struck a nerve.
Awesome, oh, hey, Chris. Start
repeat.
Over.
Repeat.
Start over. You turned into a transformer for a second.
Your phone completely messed up.
Oh, sorry. How about now?
Yeah. Right, better.
Awesome. What, you know, you guys are talking about the Rockets and Daryl Morey. You know, something to know is that, let me just start by saying, he's been an awesome general manager for, what, 10 years plus now?
Sure.
And, you know, he's kept the Rockets relevant for years now. But, there's, you know, there's one flaw in his game, and it's always been that way. Daryl is a numbers guy. And with most numbers guys, they don't have a keen feel for the chemistry element, the people element of things. Just look at the teams as they go along, and look at the team now, guys. I fully believe Jimmy Butler never had any intention on playing for the Rockets, man. None. And for Daryl to try to turn a deal to bring a super diva into a team that already has two other super divas, there's no way that was going to work from a chemistry standpoint.
Right.
Look at Carmelo Anthony. You know, you can just do some of these things. You don't have to be a MIT math whiz to kind of see, like, these things aren't going to mesh, right?
Sure.
And that's the, I think that that's one problem. Another thing that you guys brought up, when it comes to these deals, Daryl Morey has been like an expert at like getting the most out of second round draft picks, overlooked players, and they work well in our system. That's how he's been able to turn some of these deals. And you know what? It is right. He has been, in his own kind of way, fleecing other general managers, because it's, you know, you can look at it and tell, going all the way back to Chandler Parsons, who that was a non-deal that actually worked out in our favor, right? They work well in the kind of system that the Rockets play in, but when they go to other places, they may have a flash in the pan season one or two here,
sure,
but they ultimately don't work out. Look at Montrezl Harrell, right? You know, we'll see what happens now in year, what, three?
Kind of wish we still had Montrezl.
Yeah. Wouldn't be bad if they did keep Montrezl. Hey, Chris, we appreciate the call, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you make some good points about, especially about Morey being a more of a numbers and analytics guy and less of a team chemistry guy, because he is right.
That's what the coach's job, figure it out.
Yeah, but you have to take that into account, which is why, I mean, you got to give props to a guy like Jeff Luhnow, who is an analytics GM. But he also doesn't make moves just to make moves. In fact, it was the opposite. He looked at Carlos Beltran and said, all right, he's not going to give us what we want, but you know what he is going to do? Solidify a locker room. Him and Brian McCann will teach this young team how to become a mature team and how to win and how to, you know, advance and do those things. So he made chemistry moves, but still keeps his analytical mind. And a lot of times, I mean, the Carmelo Anthony thing backfired. Dwight Howard backfired. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul and James Harden supposedly don't get along. And adding Jimmy Butler, what would that have done? I do agree with Chris in a lot of ways. It's all about numbers. And I think Daryl Morey just falls in love with a guy. Because how many – you look at – that's why I asked you about Dwight 1 and Dwight 2. Because he'll see a guy and be like,
right,
I want that guy. I want to say I went and got it.
And you heard the rumors earlier this year about the four draft picks for Jimmy Butler. So he's, you know,
so he fixates on a player – everything else be damned. He's just going to fixate on that guy.
That's why I'm so worried that Kevin Love's eventually going to be here.
Oh, man. When it's too late. It seems like every time he goes and gets somebody, it's too late.
Let's squeeze USA Mike in here. What do you got for us, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? First and foremost, Barry, happy anniversary.
Thank you, buddy.
But, hey, man, I'm actually one of the few people that was happy when I found out that Durant was leaving, that the Rockets stayed pat. I mean, I know it looks bad, but I think y'all brought up the point. It's a really good team going back in. And if your biggest foe is not going to be the same, I think you're going to do good. The last question I got for you guys is who would you rather have, Montrezl or JaVale McGee? I think JaVale might actually be able to add some backup after losing the name. I'll hang up and listen.
USA Mike, appreciate the call.
Yeah, that was the thing we were talking about that at the break where – everybody's like, ooh, Looney and McGee, they're the replacements for Nene. And while Nene didn't give you anything, and it's probably warranted that you go out and get somebody to be a legitimate backup that you can get, you know, you can play them back-to-back nights and all that. I don't like JaVale McGee. I don't like
the fit here.
To me, he's the equate version of DeAndre Jordan. And DeAndre Jordan is kind of one-dimensional. So you're getting a guy that's got a few skill sets, defender and dunker, which is what Capella is. And then you're getting a generic version of that, and JaVale McGee just doesn't do it for me. If that's going to be their big splash,
look, if they
you got a little deeper.
If they could somehow get something for Capella, and then end up with Kevon Looney and whatever asset they get from Capella, like that, I'm for that. But I mean, you're not getting Looney to back up Capella. He's going to cost too much money.
Yeah,
JaVale McGee as like a minimum guy behind Clint Capella, I guess
that would be fine.
You know, that's fine, but you know, that's certainly not going to be Plan A. Because I'm not convinced Clint Capella is still here. Like, these teams keep swinging and missing. I'm not convinced that Clint Capella is staying a member of the Houston Rockets until he's taken the floor week one. So that's my thing is, like, so if you're going to keep shopping Capella, if that's not solidified, you've got to be exploring a new big man opportunity, a new big man situation.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to swap Capella out for a big man, you might as well just keep Clint Capella. He knows your team. You know what I mean?
And not only that, if you're going to make a move as the Rockets, you know, the NBA is transitioning away from a traditional big man. And we've talked about it on the show where it used to be spread four was a big thing. There's spread fives now. You look at Lopez and what he did.
Yep.
And, you know, there are guys that will – I mean, Joel Embiid is shooting the three now. There, you know, that's the move. That's the way that that the league is going, and it fits. It would fit perfectly with the Rockets. Now, I do know. I mean, you got to admit they ran the pick and roll really well for a while last year, especially it was working. And then the injuries, and they got away from it. Actually, they went to this ISO ball with Harden. So I don't know if getting a traditional center like McGee and Looney even would make sense. If you're going to get rid of Capella, move in a different direction and go with a stretch five.
All right, do you want to talk some baseball and save some more basketball for later?
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk some baseball. I got some questions about these Astros All-Stars, Astros pitching, because a guy that we've never heard of is going to pitch tomorrow in force. And lots to get to. You guys want to get in, 713-780-3776 is the number. Barry's here, Nick's here. I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank. And on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Deanna. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
At Barry is funny on Twitter. At the producer Nick on Twitter. I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank. He's at Patman Joel. I'm at Cody _Stutz on Twitter.
Hey, before we get to your baseball, let's get a couple of these texts from the text line out
let's
of the way.
Let's do it.
No disrespect, but do y'all call yourself the Big Show because y'all are husky?
But are y'all usually husky, or am I just adding to the husky quantity?
I mean, Joel's
he's chubby. He's big. He's a big dude.
We're all husky on this show in our own way.
I don't feel like y'all
Nick's like Ethiopian fat. Like, he's skinny everywhere, but he just, like, he looks like he ate a beach ball.
I got a few rolls, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like a weird, oddly shaped man. Joel's just chubby.
But I feel like y'all aren't necessarily husky as much as, like, maybe you're just, like, one shirt size too big of what you should be. Whereas, like, I'm out and out fat.
Like, I should be, like, I wear a large. I should be a medium, is what you're saying?
Yeah, maybe it's like one of those. Like, what do you wear, Nick? You wear a medium?
Medium, yeah.
Yeah, you should probably be wearing smediums.
It's true.
I usually wear a medium or a large, one of the two.
Like, yeah. I'm rocking.
More large than medium.
I mean, it could be that.
I mean, if we checked your shirt right now, what would it be?
This would be a medium, for sure.
Is it?
For sure.
How comfortable is that?
That's why it looks like your gut sticks out further.
Can you see my gut? You can't see my gut through the glass. Your old eyes can't see anything.
I don't have my glasses on, bro. I can't see anything right now. Where am I? No, so that answers your question. Barry, I did stand up years ago, and I've done maybe one or two spots since then. Where's a good open mic to go to? I mean, the improv is probably your best bet, because a lot of the open mics you have to email and, you know, they don't know you. They're going to be like, who's this weirdo? I'm not putting you on stage. Best bet, go to the improv on Tuesdays. I think their open mic starts at 7, and it's show up and put your name in a bucket, and if it gets a draw, and you get stage time. So check out the Houston Improv. Somebody said my murder cabin looked like the Unabomber cabin.
Ooh.
Good call. That's a good call. It did look like the Unabomber stayed there. By the way, the neighborhood it was in, there were a ton of like trailers. And I mean, it's Arkansas, right? There was like trailers and other A-frame murder cabins. And
oh, yeah. It definitely looks like the Unabomber cabin.
Right?
Yeah. Good call.
And what the craziest thing about the show was right up front on Saturday was a toothless guy. I was like, come on, Arkansas.
Stop.
Like, really? What? We're going to
cut this out. Cut these stereotypes
out. And Andy was, because even Huggins was like, it was kind of distracting that every time he laughed, he had like teeth missing. And I was like, yeah, you would think that when you're seating people as the club, you'd be like, hey, let's not put the toothless guy up front. But then I was like, it's Arkansas, so it was probably really not an option. Every group had at least one toothless person in it. So they were like, well, it's just going to be that way. There's going to be one toothless person.
The crazy part was he was the town dentist.
Exactly. They said, are the shirts going to be for sale? I don't know. I think if they do sell them, it's going to be for charity, not profit.
That's what we said last time, right?
Yeah. I think if they are for sale, they're going to be the usual suspect shirts will be. The money will be given to charity, so hang tight for that. I'm not sure. Barry, that was the worst Jeff Foxworthy impression you've ever done. That was my Carl and Katie, I'm assuming, when Mark shows. Yeah. He also said I could squeeze into a 4X. See, Mark, a guy that did the weight loss challenge, lost a ton of weight. Not literally, but lost a ton of weight, and then he's going back to the 4XL. That's how we do it. I'm the same way. I'll get down to 170, and then eventually I find my way back to cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
It happens. That's what we do. Appreciate you, Demetrius. He wishes happy birthday. Funny text that came in, and I don't usually look at pictures, but they updated our text line, so we have a new app.
Oh, you don't tell people you can send pictures now.
No, they've always do. I just ignore them. Gotcha. But this one accidentally popped up for some reason. But it's a picture of a Knicks jersey, and on the back it says cap space for the name. That's so funny. That's outstanding.
Boy, did he get killed on Twitter, Dolan.
Oh, yeah, he did. All right, so I'm caught up. We can move on to that baseball.
All right, we'll get some basketball a little bit later on. The Astros have six All-Stars. You knew the three starters already, Bregman and Brantley and Springer.
Yep.
And then as the teams got announced yesterday, you get Verlander on the team, you get Cole on the team, and you get Ryan Pressly
all on the player team. Picks.
Yes, because the relief pitchers and the starting pitchers and the closers have to be selected by the players.
And some of the backups, I believe.
Yes, and some of the backups as well. And then I think you'll get, you know, as guys aren't feeling good or aren't going to play or are going to play, whatever, you might get a guy added here or there. I thought that there were two off the top of my head. I was like, okay, well, what about Robinson Chirinos? And what about Roberto Osuna for getting on the team? And then I realized it only took two catchers. And it's like, okay, well, Gary Sanchez is way better than Chirinos.
Sure.
And then the Chicago White Sox guy, like they got to have an all-star, you know? He's hitting like .317 as a catcher. I was like, okay, well, he's really good too.
Yeah, he's got the highest average amongst catchers in baseball. Go. Baseball.
Yeah, so maybe if down the road they add a catcher, Chirinos will have an argument. But I think like the Oakland A's guy has an argument because he has more RBI. There's another catcher that has similar stats but more home runs than Chirinos. So he was in the conversation because of the fan voting.
Right. Well, I was at one point I was lobbying for him and encouraging the fans to go vote for him because he had a stretch where he was doing everything for this team. He was drawing walks. He was getting on base. He was driving in runs. And that waned a little bit. But there was a time in mid-May and maybe even mid-June, maybe it was mid-June, where he had really what I thought earned a good look at an all-star appearance.
Well, for a stretch there, he was out hitting JT Real Muto, yep. Who was the big catcher from the Marlins everybody wanted the Astros to go get. Now, obviously, Real Muto's passed him up since then. But for a stretch there, he's had some nice at-bats, but it's not, and it's certainly not all-star. And then Osuna, I was looking at it like, okay, well, there's some freaking studs on the pitching staff, so Osuna didn't have a chance there.
No, yeah, those. I think the Osuna one you could make a strong case for. The Chirinos, I was kind of disappointed, but I get why he didn't make it. And when you have the players picking, you know there's other things that they look at as well.
Six Astros, most amongst any teams.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this, and I don't know who I would go to, and I'm certainly not doing the legwork on it myself because I feel like it'd be super hard. Will Harris in 16, Devo in 17, and now Presley here in 19.
Yeah.
The Astros, in this little stretch of success they've had, have had three middle relievers make it to the All-Star game. That is incredible.
It really is.
That's an incredible run for Brent Strom and that pitching staff.
And you talk about the bullpen, and you know, you think about it. I made the observation a while back that there's kind of a luxury in that bullpen about how many of those guys have closer experience. Even as bad as Devinsky is, he was the closer for the Astros at one point. Will Harris, closer for the Astros at one point. Presley could be a closer on any team in baseball. And I think he has experience there. He's closed games. Osuna's a closer. Rondon was a closer. I mean, those five guys in your bullpen that any one of them you would feel comfortable, or because they've been in the role at least a little bit in their career of having to come in and close out a game, that's going to be important in the playoffs.
We got a Astros trade target that most of you have never heard of. And I have a very interesting question for Nick and for Barry that I think will elicit some very hilarious responses. And you got a chance to win Blues Traveler tickets. All that still to come on The Usual Suspects today here in ESPN 97.5. Cody Stewart's in for Joel Blank. Barry's here, Nick's here, and you're here, so don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, got some baseball we want to get to. I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank. Barry's here, Nick's here as well. We'll get to that here in just a moment. Blues Traveler coming to town. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you and a guest to the All Roads Runaround Tour featuring Blues Traveler and Mo. White Oak Music Hall, Friday, August 9th. Caller number 9. Caller number 9 to 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. Going to win themselves a pair of tickets to see the show featuring a set from each band plus a one-of-a-kind collaboration set. General admission VIP tickets are available now at LiveNation.com. But if you're calling number 9 to 713-780-3776, you're going to win a pair of tickets to see the show. Blues Traveler and Mo. So there's going to be a set from each of them and then a combo set.
That sounds complicated.
Whose instruments do they use?
It's
very, a lot of questions.
How do you have two drummers?
A lot of questions.
All right, you're going to do the bass. I'm going to do the snare. No, that's not going to work. All right, you just sit in my lap. You do the cymbals, I'll do the snare and bass, and then we'll do the toms together. You get the two high toms, I'll take the two low toms. What the hell's that going to be? That's going to be weird. Sounds fun, though. Are you a Blues Travelers guy?
Couldn't name anything about him.
Really?
Is it a guy or
just
a girl?
Just that one song, Run Around. That's their. I'm sure you've heard this song, Cody.
Yeah.
Oh! The Shrek song.
What? Shrek song.
Is this the Shrek song?
I don't know. I think this was in a Shrek movie.
It might be on that soundtrack. You never
really
know.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big old guy.
Guy or group?
It's a group, but the dude singing is massive, or was massive.
So you thought the Blues Travelers was a guy. Like, you think Steely Dan's a guy?
It says Blues Traveler. So I thought
it was.
Is it
not Travelers?
I thought it was one.
Is it a cover band, or is it actually Blues?
No, it's them.
Okay.
It's actually them.
It is no S at the end. It is Blues Traveler.
I've been saying Travelers. So Blues.
Oh, you have? It is Blues Traveler.
It is Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler.
Yeah.
He's not that massive. They lose weight?
Maybe, but the video in that particular, on that particular song, he was a big dude.
What's that song called?
Run Around.
Oh, okay. That's from like 97?
Probably. I would imagine that song was in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. He's on one of his Twitter account. There's a throwback picture of him. He's a pretty hefty fella.
He's a big dude.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty hefty fella. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but he's got a good voice, though. I mean, he can sing.
Indeed. That's sure. weird. I feel like larger people always sing better.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
I can't sing worth a hoot.
Well,
maybe
I'm not saying,
supposed to be skinny.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying, you know. I mean, look, there's the whole opera singer thing, and it ain't over till the fat lady sings. That
you're bringing up good points here.
Don't knock it. Big folks can sing.
You're bringing up good points.
All right, thank you. I digress.
Has anyone ever? I mean, dead giveaways for people who don't know what they're talking about. Leonard Skinner, one person.
Steely Dan,
one person.
Yeah.
I was admitting that I had no
Greta
idea.
Greta Van Fleet, I love her stuff. Nope.
Fleetwood Mac, let me tell you.
He was a pimp, right? That's why it was Fleetwood Mac. Because he was a Mac? No? Okay. That's not it. Meatloaf.
All right. So does the name Matthew Boyd do anything for you?
No, not really.
Most Astros fans, when they hear the name Matthew Boyd, we'll think, well, that doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything to me. It should. John Morosi reporting that the Astros have interest in Matthew Boyd, the Tigers pitcher. But the current ask includes Kyle Tucker, and the Astros, for now, are not willing to put Kyle Tucker in the deal. They asked for Kyle Tucker, the Tigers did, when they were talking about Verlander a couple years ago, and Jeff Luhnow rebuffed that offer. And, of course, they ended up with Daz Cameron and a catcher and some other guys. Nobody that we're really, you know, missing watching.
Right.
Okay. Let me tell you a little about Boyd. Big-time prospect. I don't know why I've paid so much attention to him over the years, but...
It is weird how, if you're a baseball guy, you fixate on certain guys, right?
Yeah, you just end up with guys that you really like.
Yeah.
For some odd reason or whatever.
I'm the same way.
13th round pick in by the Reds, but then eventually was a 6th round pick by the Blue Jays, okay, out of Oregon State. And you look at the stats this year and you're like, well, he's not that good. 3.72 ERA, 101 innings pitched. But here's what I'll tell you. One of the best prospects in the Tigers organization. My Tiger buddy that I talked to, who covers Detroit sports, was like, if they trade him, we're going to, like, riot.
Oh, yeah?
They think he's really good. They think he is, like, a for sure number two when the Tigers are good again. Like, he's going to be their Garrett Cole, essentially.
Right.
You know? And then there's the Brent Strom effect with every guy that the Astros are interested in from a pitching perspective. It's like, oh, okay, he was okay, well, then he's going to be great with us. Oh, he was great with somebody else? Okay, well, he's going to be even better with us. It's like Brent Strom is, you know, a wizard and just makes all these guys better.
Yeah, that's true. And you're right. You look at his numbers, and it doesn't show well. I mean, this is the first year he managed to get his ERA under 4.
Yep.
His fielding independent pitching, same way. This is the first time he's had it under 4. And it's actually a little bit better than his ERA, which is a good sign. But, I mean, nothing jumps out at me as being from a numbers perspective. I mean, his average in his 5 years in the big leagues is a 9-13 pitcher with a 4.82 ERA. So with a 1.31 WHIP.
And the thing I failed to mention, which is a big probably sticking point in the conversation, he's under team control with arbitration for 3 more years.
Now that's an important point. And yeah. If you think that this is a guy who's coming into his own, because this year he is pitching his ass off. I think he's top 15 in ERA in the majors this year. But if he's doing that, and you feel like over the next years he's going to get better, he's figured out how to pitch, because that happens sometimes. Guys start off slow. They're in a bad situation, and he is in a bad situation in Detroit. They're not winning. They've given up. They're rebuilding for sure. He might be better when he gets here than he was there. And that's not always, I mean, it's not guaranteed, but like you said, the Stromy effect, guys get here. And it's, don't give it to just Brent Strom, but their analytics group and the way that they, you know, they, because you'll see it. Like Stromy's out there, but they'll have dudes with cameras on all sides of a pitcher, and just a camera on the grip and the elbow and the shoulder. And
organizational approach.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this team, and, you know, Brent Strom's at the helm of that, but this team makes guys better when they get here from a pitching perspective for the most part. I wish they could fix Davinsky and a few others, but they make guys better. So it would be intriguing. I don't know why they would say no to Kyle Tucker, though. If you think this guy is the legitimate two, you wouldn't give up Kyle Tucker for a two?
So when you put it that way, I would. I think their hesitation on Tucker is Tucker's early 20s, and you've got roughly, you know, 6.5 years worth of major league service, 6 years worth of major league service at a cost-controlled point.
Mm-hmm.
Boyd is 28. He'll turn 29 next year. So basically,
prime.
You're getting him for the arbitration years, maybe one deal, and that's it. And the idea would be, okay, the arbitration years, if he gets here and he's good, expensive. It's just the way Jeff Luhnow thinks about these things and the way he talked about it in the, you know, pursuit of Verlander back in the day, the pursuit of any of these guys is cost-controlled service years. And, like, Tucker brings you 6 cost-controlled service years, whereas Boyd is bringing you 3 cost-controlled service years. But to your point, if you think he's going to be a 2 and you think he's an adequate replacement for Gerrit Cole, who's going to walk in free agency because you're not paying him all that money, then go do it.
That's the thing you have to look at is where are you going to slot this guy? I mean, when he gets here, he's probably your 3 or your 4.
Correct.
Well, I think Miley might be better than this cat. I don't know. I haven't watched him pitch a lot. But even if he slots into your 3 and your 4 for now, but if you think he can become your 2, now remember, you're still going to get Lance McCullers back.
Correct.
You have Verlander, you know, for another year or two. So you only need him to really be your 3. You correct. Got Miley. Miley's yeah. probably your 3. So now you're talking about a guy with 2 stuff being your 4. If that's the case, you're starting to try to build that rotation sure. back to what it was last year when Lance McCullers and Charlie Morton were your 4 and your 5. Or, sorry, like, who was it? It was Verlander, Cole, Morton.
It was Keuchel was the 3.
Yeah, Keuchel, Morton, and McCullers.
Yeah.
So Morton, McCullers were your 4 and your 5. You're trying to get back to that point. Good luck.
Sidebar. All-star Charlie Morton.
Our all-star, yeah, CFM.
Yeah.
That dude's balling out of control right now. Here's the question I have for you, though, along the same lines with Tucker, okay? I agree with you that you want to make sure you don't just give him away for nothing.
Sure.
But if you could get better and get a 2 or a guy or even a 3, think about this. The Astros are starting to run into a log jam in the outfield.
Correct.
You've got Tony Kemp, who's out of options. Not a big deal. Okay, but along with Tucker, you've got Yordan Alvarez, who's going to be your left fielder of the future.
Mm-hmm.
You might slot him in at first base, but he could play left field, and he's proven he's adequate out there so far.
Right.
I think this team is dumb if they don't re-sign George Springer. He's what makes this team go, period, end of story.
Correct.
So you've got your left field and your center field taken care of. Well, what about Miles Straw? Is he the heir apparent to Jake Marisnyk? Is he a guy that could play every day? He gets on base 40% of the time. Is Miles Straw a guy that could start in left field for you? He's not going to be George Springer, but is he going to be any worse than Reddick on a day-in and day-out basis?
Sure,
plays
yeah.
better defense, can steal more bags. There's going to be – and Brantley, if you want to re-sign him, if he's happy being here
yep.
and he thinks that they're going to win long-term, I don't know that Kyle Tucker is as high in this organization or he would be up right now.
I'm guessing that in a perfect world, in a absolute perfect world, Jeff Luhnow's outfield is Tucker in right, George in center, and Yordan in left field.
Okay.
In an absolute perfect world. Obviously, Reddick's under contract for this year and next. Brantley's under contract.
So Jake, he signed a 2-year deal, so he's
Jake,
this year and next.
Jake Marisnyk is a conversation you have to have, like
yeah.
as a rotational piece to the outfield, like is that a can you?
I've always looked at Straw as Marisnyk's new, cheaper as, replacement. Yeah. He's the Aledmys Diaz to Marwin Gonzalez.
Derek Fisher is still in this organization.
That's right.
You mentioned Tony Kemp. He has infield outfield versatility. Like
so, when you look at all that, if you could get a 2, a bona fide 2, I'd do it in a heartbeat for Kyle Tucker.
Good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Good way to look at it. That's Barry Leonat. He's Nick Sciarra. I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's here. Nick's here. I'm Cody Stutes in for Joel, who's coming back, what, the third before the fourth?
Wednesday,
when everybody's
off?
So he's coming back a day before everybody goes off for a day.
Well, I'm assuming he wants to give his thoughts on the whole NBA free agency situation. He's excited for that. That's my guess.
So that's why he came back for one
that's my
day
guess.
To take another day off.
I'm sure he's got all kinds of thoughts he wants to share.
Is that an ego issue that you come back for one day to tell us what you think and then take another day off? Why not just come back on Friday? What's the difference?
Yeah, we hate seeing you, bro. We don't want to see you just for one day.
Well, no. I mean, if you're not here for
Isn't
the
what
day after, what's the difference between Wednesday and Friday to give your thoughts? Really?
Not that much, I guess.
No.
So,
and I would like that extra time off anyways.
Exactly. Yeah. Roll it all in.
That's right.
So when you're in a vacation and you come back on a Friday, that doesn't make much sense.
No, who would do that?
I don't know.
Stupid.
All right, a couple things, and then I have a question that I think is valid and will be hilarious for both of you guys.
Okay.
So tomorrow, because Brad Peacock's hurt, they need a pitcher. Welcome to the majors and pitching in Coors freaking Field.
Yeesh.
Jose Urquidy?
Is that how you pronounce it? Who?
Urquidy? Urquidy?
Apparently he's their best AAA pitcher?
Correct, because Corbin Martin is hurt right now, yeah. And so is Forrest Whitley.
Okay.
He used to go by Jose Hernandez.
That is
all I have figured out about Jose Urquidy.
Oh, we hope we're saying that right?
Just doing my best, man. Doing my best.
I'm looking at his numbers. I mean, they're not awful this year. Well, Corpus Christi, AA, put up a 409er. But 289 ERA at AAA.
Good enough for me.
Yeah. He's going to get rocked at Coors Field. I told Nick, I'd be surprised if he lasts two innings.
From Mazatlan, Mexico.
You think he gets out of the second?
Yeah.
Okay. I think he'll get out of the second because it'll already be 8-0, and they're like, bro, you're just going to stay in.
Throw.
Like, you're yeah, just,
it's like,
a, yeah.
It's like
just whatever. At this point, whatever. Yeah, you're wrecking our plus minus. We don't care. Just, it's already over.
It's like,
watch
that,
him go out and pitch
it's
a
like
no-hitter. Yeah, throw a no-no.
It's like that cat the other day. It looks like UConn Cornelius. Sisneed.
Yes.
They threw him out there. Like, hey, by the way, like you got to pitch the rest of this game because yeah. We're not blowing
don't,
the
ball. Don't even think about coming out.
Yeah,
as bad as it's going to get, I don't care.
Oh,
you're not getting any visits to the mound.
Oh, your arm hurts. Oh, your face is going to hurt if you don't figure this
exactly.
out, UConn.
I think they're stealing my signs. We don't care. Just keep throwing the ball. Whatever. Just you know what? You just throw what you want. You don't even need. We're not relaying any signs.
It wasn't helping before. It's not going to help now.
I don't give a damn if you underarm it. I don't. You can granny shot the ball up there. Let's just. We're not wasting any of our. Good arms.
Okay, so the Yankees this week are expected to sign a 16-year-old baseball player.
Okay.
His name is Jason Dominguez. I hope I'm saying that right because Jason is spelled with two S's. Perhaps it's Jason Dominguez. Jason Dominguez.
I'm country. I'm Texan. So everything I say is wrong anyway.
He's from the...
I would see that and be like, well, that's Jason.
Yeah.
Because A-S-S is ass.
Right.
So that's Jason. Then you're like, no, it's Jason. And I'd be like, well, I'm a moron.
He's from the Dominican Republic. Okay. He's 16. He's nicknamed El Marciano.
Which means?
The Martian.
What?
He's nicknamed the Martian.
Does he look like... Oh, I almost was mean. I almost said, does he look like Sam Cassell? That ain't right.
He is a 6-foot switch... That's funny. That's mean and funny. That's mean and funny.
Thank you very much.
He is a 6-foot switch hitting, power hitting center fielder who one general manager described as Mike Trout, but Mike Trout wasn't this good when he was 16.
Oh, damn.
So the Yankees are going to pay him $5 million, which is, I think, basically all their international signing money
sure.
or whatever. 16-year-old nicknamed the Martian.
That's just disgusting. If the Yankees are just like, well, you know what? He's 16. He won't be up here till he's 22. But for 6 years, here's $5 million, kid. Go learn how to play baseball. We'll see you in a little while.
Let's see.
Is there an age limit? Like, could he play?
I don't know.
If they were like, you know what? Just go to rookie ball. And then he just tears the cover off the ball. And they're like, okay, 16-year-old, you think you're badass? When school's out, go to A ball. And then he's just like, he hits 450 with 19 bombs. They're like, damn, go to double A. He's just ripping it. Like,
yeah.
There's like 1,000 baseball movies where kids make it to the majors.
Yeah, Rookie of the Year, stuff like that.
Fantastic movies, by the way. Rookie of the Year. I like those type of movies.
Oh, my God.
They're not realistic, but they're still great.
Can I just tell you how not surprised I am that you would like that
movie? I would watch a movie like that, totally. Is Rookie of the Year the one where he had some issue with his arm that made him throw?
He trips and lands on a baseball funny, and then he can throw like
fantastic movie. Y'all don't like that movie?
No. Did you like
Cody?
When I was six, I liked it.
I mean, I might have watched it when I was six. I'm just saying.
And 16 and 26.
And 36.
I was going to say. Yeah, you're really into that, huh? You liked little Bow Wow in that basketball movie?
Yeah, that was a great movie.
What was that?
Air Bud?
Like Mike?
Like Mike. How did you even know that? You saw it, didn't you?
Obviously, he likes it, too.
No, I'm just familiar with it.
Really?
Yeah, like Mike.
I would have never guessed it. I just know Lil Bow Wow made a basketball movie.
Yeah, I was a kid when that movie came out, I think.
God. I don't like those movies. I can honestly say I've never seen Rookie of the Year.
Can I get to my question about the Martian
here?
I'm
sorry, go.
Okay. He's apparently a freak athlete. He's Mike Trout, but except against Witch
Hit. You act like you've never seen this show where we just go off the rails.
But I have a question that will take us further off the rails.
Okay, I'm in for it.
Okay. I get a time machine out, and I give...
Oh, my God.
16-year-old.
Your question starts with a time
machine.
Hold on.
Because this kid's 16, he's going to have $5 million.
Okay.
If I gave 16-year-old Nick Sciarra $5 million and 16-year-old Barry Laminack $5 million, my question is, would you be dead or broke?
Yeah, I'd be drunk and broke, and he'd be the Nutty Professor. He'd just be fat. He'd just be eating and eating and eating. He'd just use that $5 million and go to the buffet. He just wouldn't stop.
Nick would spend his $5 million on whores before the end of the season. It would be whores and crack and whiskey and just, oh, my God. He would
So dead or broke?
He would be dead.
Probably.
From syphilis. How do you get syphilis and die from it in the same year? You're 16-year-old Nick with $5 million. That's how. He'd literally just be eating syphilis pills and, oh, it would just be awful. Just.
I'd be eating pills. You'd just be eating food.
I would be dead from high cholesterol because I would just eat my $5 million and I'd be like Wimpy. What's his name? Wimpy. I'm glad you play your Tuesday. I would just be like, I ain't got to pay nobody Tuesday. I'm eating all this. Yeah. I would be playing video games and eating fast food, not caring. And I would also die the same year Nick did just for different reasons. I think I would be, you said dead or broke?
Dead or broke.
By when, though? Now?
I mean, that's what
the year within by the time you're 21. What's the parameters?
I guess you know
because we've already established Nick is going to die. I mean,
by 18,
it takes a
Nick
lot
done?
Longer. Look, syphilis will get you a lot faster than cholesterol. So Nick's definitely going before me.
Really? Because yeah. Magic Johnson lived with an STD forever. He doesn't even have an STD anymore.
Five mil ain't getting rid of.
It's not going to get rid of syphilis.
Not enough.
No. Not enough. Well, you know my math isn't all there.
No,
so.
Al Capone, didn't he die of syphilis?
Did he really?
Yeah.
No idea.
I'm pretty sure.
No idea. You want to finally get into the non-Rockets NBA free agency?
Sure, we can do that.
We can get away from Nick's
syphilitic
STIs.
Life. Nick, that'd be your reality show, My Syphilitic Life.
You'd be on season 8 of My 600-Pound Life.
They'd have to change it. Now it's my 700-pound life. Someone gave him $5 million.
Oh, none of those people are 600 pounds, by the way.
Really?
They're all, like, way over 600 pounds. They need to change the name of that show.
Really?
Yes. Oh, I got a funny story about that. I'll tell
okay.
you when we get back.
All right.
He's Barry Laminack. That's Nick Sciarra. I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank today. You're on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
ESPN 975.